Hey listeners, we're in the heat of one of the greatest sports events of the year. You guessed it, March Madness. And the best place to stay on top of all the NCAA tournament coverage? CBS Sports HQ. What is CBS Sports HQ? It is the free 24-hour sports network that's built for fans just like you. From nonstop highlights to news and analysis, CBS Sports HQ has got you covered. Check out CBS Sports HQ. It is always on and always free. No need to pay a subscription fee or have an expensive cable package. Download the CBS Sports app on your phone, Fire TV, Roku, or Apple TV to start watching today.
You are listening to Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast.
Swung and lined to deep left field. It is gone! Hit well. Deep right. Bautista's going to wave goodbye. Start the fireworks show.
This is Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast, episode 113. I'm your host, Matt Lyons, and on this week's episode, Paul Dolan had some thoughts that he, for some reason, felt to share with The Athletic. The Indians signed Brad Miller. The opening day lineup looks set and not great. We'll make some bold predictions about the upcoming seasons, and of course, we'll answer your questions. Before we get into all that, I want to thank everybody listening now, wherever they got their podcast, whether you're on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or if you're just listening on letsgotribe.com. Thanks for listening. Just make sure, if you want to, just subscribe, leave us a review. Joining me for all that and more is, of course, Mr. Merritt Rolfing. Merritt, how you doing?
I'm very well. I didn't know that we were going to be making bold predictions. I don't have any ready.
I don't either, but we're going to wing it. You got like 20 minutes till we get to that segment, Mark.
I'll hash some out, yeah. Let's get to discussing Brad Miller, because this is why I do these podcasts about single teams to discuss middling, I don't know, what platoon players.
I don't know if you call him middling or platoon still. Do you? Dizzy? Do you? I mean, did you look into 30 home runs? Those were, did you?
4 years ago.
Do we count him as middling? I mean, do we? Because I wrote about it today that he lost, his ability to hit the ball, which is kind of important in baseball. But if he can actually make contact, I mean, he's got a decent chance to hit some kind of power. He still hits the ball incredibly hard. So.
What is middling? I guess middling is average. No, it's mediocre. Is mediocre average? Is mediocre below average?
I would think it's like slightly below average. If you have an average player.
Well, last year he had a 97 OPS plus, so I don't know. That's slightly below average.
You know what? But I'm just saying, look, if he gets that ability to make contact back, maybe there's something there. I mean, he's sure. And they also got him for basically nothing as like an emergency backup at the end of spring training. So sure, why not? But
no, I mean, I'm with you. He was not great last year. He wasn't terrible either, though. So it's not like the Indians are rolling out superstars at every position. In fact, I think they're all out of superstars at this point. So having even slightly less than average players is in so many different places an upgrade, which is sad to say the least.
Yeah, you know, if Jason Kipnis is out for opening day two, I heard it on MLB Network today. I can't remember what the exact was, but I think it's like every player who had more than 100 plate appearances last season won't be in the lineup on opening day.
Oh my God.
Because Lindor, Ramirez are both out, and then Jason Kipnis is out. Or no, it's Kipnis and Lindor are out for sure. And then if Ramirez is out, then he's also, that takes them all down. Because think about it, in the outfield, it's going to be Martin, probably Bowers and Naquin, and then Roberto Perez in the infield, Carlos Santana, and I don't know, Brad Miller and Eric Stametz in the infield, Max Moroff.
I'm skipping the first week of the season. Good Christ in heaven. I'm watching college basketball. I'm watching the NIT.
I mean, you'll have some pitchers to watch. They're going to be there. As long as Carlos Carrasco stops getting hit with baseballs, you got five decent pitchers to watch.
Boy, that's a great thing to hope for. I guess, you know, the whole point of a spring training is knocking the kinks out, getting things out of the way, you know, and getting ready for regular season. So it's nice that Carrasco got the hitting by a batted ball out of the way, and at least it only hit his ass and not
I mean, it was square on that cheek, too. That was like... Hey, I think that's why he was smiling when Tito came out, because I think he was probably saying, just my butt hurts now.
I'm just glad. I mean, to get hit on the meat, I don't even care. I mean, yeah, you know, bruised butt sucks, but he can't sit down for a couple of days, which makes his legs more tired. I'll have to lie down, I guess, in the dugout.
I want to see that on the injury report.
Bruised butt. Ass.
Well, the meat of what we're going to talk about today, Merritt, is
Carlos Carrasco's meaty ass.
That too, that's always implied in the background of everything I
episode
talk about
title. Whatever you there hear me
I mean, it was going to be enjoy that, but maybe it'll be enjoy that Carlos Carrasco ass or something. I don't know.
Carlos Carrasco's meaty ass. Get it right. He probably has the best butt of any of the starting pitchers, right? I think he does.
I mean, you better say that if you disrespected a smile a couple episodes ago.
Bauer like pretends to, but it's just because he wears the long socks. It helps accentuate the buttocks some.
I mean, it was Yonder Alonso last year because that man is a centaur.
That boy got a booty. Dang. But he's out of the rotation. I'm just talking about rotation pitchers right now. I think Carrasco pitchers. I think Carrasco walks away with it handily. And again, his smile is good. I'm not taking anything away from him. It's just Bieber's is better.
That's false, but it's fine.
You're false. I mean, you're fine. A false god.
So Barrett, Paul Dolan, also has an ass, I'm sure. I don't know anything about it. He also sounded like an ass today.
He's usually very narrow asses, but whatever.
The gist of what he did today was he talked to The Athletic, to Zach Mizell. I don't know when exactly he talked to him. He didn't say, but I would assume recently, and he got this out when he could.
It must have been after he did that little press conference thing. So within the last couple of days, I would think, right? Because that was what, last week?
Was that the one with Anthony Kastrovitz where he talked to him?
Is
that
the one you're talking about? Yeah. So this must be in response to that or something. I don't know what the hell Dolan's doing.
Was this his way of trying to fix that? Because, oh boy, right? He didn't do a good job.
Like, I don't understand this whole tour of we're not spending money is. Like, is this an apology tour? Or I don't get it. Nothing he said anytime he's spoken in public has done anything except make me go, oh God, they're just mishandling everything. This blessing of talent. They're going, yeah, it's good. Throw in the garbage. The big old dumpster we have out there.
I feel the best way to go about looking at this is just breaking down each bizarre quote that Paul Dolan decided to put out there. Maybe not all bizarre. Some of them are just honest, but it's bizarre that he would put them out there for no reason. So let's start with the first one. Probably the most one's got the most play.
Oh, no, not this quote.
Yeah, well, it's part of it. So Zach Mizell asked him, does he envision... Yeah, was envisioned ever envisioned himself signing a player to a 10-year, $300 million deal? He said, no, I never saw us doing a deal like that we did with Encarnacion.
No, fuck that quote. We're going to the next one immediately.
We're getting there. We're getting there. He said, you don't know. Probably the day when we do a deal like that is when somebody else is doing $1 billion deals with somebody else.
God.
And then, of course, naturally, Mizell followed it up with, well, how would you tell fans that are growing upset about Lindor's future in Cleveland? And Dolan just said, enjoy him. We control him for 3 more years. Enjoy him, and we'll see what happens. That one has lit Indians
Christ
Twitter on fire.
In heaven.
If you look on like the @Indians account and at the replies, every single one is just enjoy him. There's like 70. Oh. It's just the same thing. Oh, it's so bad. He's honest. I mean, it's not. I can't fault him. He's not lying. But this is a really bad thing to say. He's just created a PR nightmare for his team. What is it? 2 days before opening day.
The Dolans have falsely been blamed for the struggles of the team, I think, and fans. It's been a kind of a refrain, right? Like, we don't spend money on the team because we just know that all the players are going to leave, and that hasn't been all the way true. He mentioned the Encarnacion deal, and just they've spent money in places, but this is just a nice way to just throw any kind, just rip open any kind of like healing of a wound that there was after signing Encarnacion, right? That's so terrible. He's bad. The best player to come to position player to come to Cleveland since Grady Sizemore was supposed to be, or anyone in the mid-90s, basically.
Well, you're talking Lindor or
Lindor, sorry, yes,
yeah.
Like he's the best thing to come out of the farm system since like Jim Thome. I think is a good comparison. Maybe I don't know. I'm just trying to think of someone who's that talented, that good, that franchise changing. You know. I mean, he wasn't quite the best player on the team last year, but it was, you know, I mean, whatever. A half a win is a rounding error sometimes. So, between him and Ramirez. What the hell is my...
No, that's a fair assessment of it. What the hell? It's so weird that the Indians and Lindor seem so far apart. Because we heard Chris Antonetti basically say he wasn't sure if they could get a deal done. Lindor said he's not focused on it until they give him a number that he wants, so... I mean, if you want to be really optimistic, maybe they're just both negotiating in the public sphere and they're just putting these things out there like, oh, we're totally not close, just to put pressure on the other side. But I don't think Francisco Lindor would be feeling any pressure from this. Like, everybody is coming down in the front office because Paul Dolan keeps screwing it up.
Francisco Lindor is getting $10 million this year, his first year of arbitration eligibility. He's going to get More than that next year, and then even more than that the next. He's gonna receive. I mean, if he stays all the way for those all three of those years, he's gonna receive what, like $40 million or so over the next 3 years. He doesn't care about money. Obviously, he's fine on money, so he's just gonna get a dick load of money when he signs his next contract, and it's gonna be a huge contract because he'll be 27. He's already earned. I'm trying to find his wins over replacement. Give me a second.
Well, remember when he signed the $10 million one? I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. His public reaction was basically, it was a lot of money. Of course I'm going to take it and not negotiate. Like, he is outplaying the Indians so hard on all this right now.
He's so good at the media. God damn. Stupid. Yeah. He's so kind and smart and smiling and charismatic. He's just making a... He's professional. Aren't the Dolans lawyers? Wait a minute.
If they are, I don't know how good they are at lawyering. I don't think they're lawyers, are they?
I thought that they were lawyers. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know how they made their money. I assume land, but I mean,
I don't know.
That's how Dick Jacobs made his money. Yeah. Dick Jacobs would spend this money. Let's get.
See, that's the thing, though. I don't know if anybody really would. Like, you mentioned it a little bit ago that they unrightly get blamed for a lot of things, I think, and they always have in the past. Like, I don't know if any other billionaire is going to come in and see what the Indians pull in for money and still pull into their pockets and just dump a bunch of their own money into it. I don't think that happens as often as we like to think.
No, but then I know, but...
coming out in the public and saying, oh, we can't do it, poor us. Oh, man. Ah, shucks. Just enjoy it.
Only thing we can hope for is get a different MVP and hoodwink them into underselling themselves for an extended period of time. That only happens once ever. So, yeah. I'm talking about Jose Ramirez, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
The most underpaid man in baseball.
It's just remarkable that he keeps... I mean, this is multiple times. Who would be telling him to do these interviews, first of
all? Why is he doing these interviews?
Is he doing it on himself?
Is there something in the Dolan bloodline that makes idiots? Is that what it is? I'm not calling him an idiot. That would be slanderous. You don't want to do that to a lawyer that I assume he is. But what the hell... Which Dolan is this? Paul Dolan?
This is Paul, yeah. And I mean, he's not wrong with any of this, but it's the PR aspect of saying it. I would rather him be quiet and then just everybody yell at him for being a coward, for being quiet in such a quiet offseason. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's partially what he was afraid of. I don't know why he would care so much what people think of him, but if he just didn't do any of this, or even just a generic like front office speak that we're going to do whatever we can to bring Francisco Lindor back, and everybody saying enjoy him.
Don't worry.
Like, everybody would be on Paul Dolan's case, but it wouldn't result in so many people being mad at the Indians as a whole.
We have Yu Chin Chang coming down the pike and others.
Well, apparently not, by the way, because
also apparently
they sent him
not.
To AAA.
Yeah. In related news, not actually. Yeah.
he leans over in the middle of the press conference and says, oh, never mind. We're not. Never mind.
Yeah. We have Nolan Jones and Tyler Freeman and.
And you know, later on in this interview, he even says like he doesn't have his finger on the pulse of the Indians, so he's not like following every in and out of reaction to the Indians and the outside perspective of them. He's just like this owner who owns his big toy and he plays with it once in a while.
You know what? I don't know
why he's coming out and
that I do appreciate. I have to say, you know what? Yeah, I don't really care. I like watching baseball and I just want to own the team, so I'm doing good. It's great. I don't know what they're doing, especially, but it's a.
I mean, it seems partially what it is. I mean, I'm sure he wanted to make money, which he's not, apparently, according to him.
I wish he would just call into Sports Talk Radio and complain about the Indians. Paul from Cleveland.
Hi, this is Dahl Poland.
Yeah, Paul from Cleveland. Go ahead, Paul. Hey, these Indians got to get their heads out of their butts. What's going on there? They got outplayed by the Astros. Is that Paul Dolan going in?
And so the thing about this too, like if they didn't get swept last year, if 2017 didn't end the way it did, and of course the 2016 didn't end the way it did, like I don't know, I think people might actually like Paul Dolan still. It's just because of one foul ball that didn't be a home run, one really awful series from Jose Ramirez last year that everybody's coming down on him so hard, but he's not helping himself whatsoever.
One lead.
I mean, I guess he's just like biding his time until this season to hope that baseball actually being played makes everything go away. Because if they win the World Series this year, like he's bought himself a lot of time, I think, with Indians fans.
Nah,
as far as like idiom.
You can't give these interviews like this and also have a player in for Francisco Lindor's If anything, them winning the World Series ostensibly should mean, oh, they can afford him now because they just got all this World Series money. Yeah, I know you don't get $300 million to win a World Series, but I don't know. I disagree with that idea that if he wins the World Series and all bets are off and he's fine now, it'd be cool. But I mean, if he doesn't win the World Series this year, also then they're SOL because it's gonna be back to like when the Cavs had LeBron. This is gonna be all the money's gonna go back to the, even more money will go to the Browns.
That's where it's gonna go anyway. That's the honest thing.
But even more. Yeah. What's his name? Braylon Edwards.
That's the one. Braylon Edwards. You got it. Good job.
Who's on that team now? I don't even remember.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now, the thing that nobody seemed to point out about this article, I think, is the craziest part, is that he basically blames the low payroll for how bad the team ended in the playoffs. I want to make sure I got the right quote.
If only there's something that could be done about the payroll.
Well, he said to start, he was talking about how, like, I mean, he's calling out his players from last year. He said, you should never assume you're going to the postseason. But last year, more than any other year, it felt like it was preordained from the outset that we were going to the postseason. We took control of the Central Division very early and never felt threatened. So we were always focused on the postseason. When we got there, it was over so quickly, it was a little unsettling. And then in the next paragraph, Mizell talks that he was basically saying, if they had gotten a little further, Dolan said that it was very unfortunate for the team. They only made it to the ALDS because all that player went right back into the players' pockets. Instead, none of it made it to the front office, which poor Paul Dolan.
Oh, that sucks.
And it was basically, had they stuck around longer, they could have, quote, mitigated the impact of what we had done last year with the payroll, which could have allowed us to then deepen our investment in 2017. Good Lord. He's blaming the players now for him not spending money. Like, I am on Paul Dolan's side about his plan for the most part. And like I said, I don't think another billionaire would magically fix everything. But you can't be blaming your players for not making it to the postseason and giving you enough money to spend the next year. That's a little something.
You can't pencil in, well, the postseason money will get us over the hump. That's called bad accounting is what that is. It's supposed to be a bonus. The way that they use that money to sign Encarnacion, that and the BAMTech money. What a poor.
Yeah, they note that was a lump sum they got from BAMTech, and they used that for Encarnacion.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you don't bank on that to build your team next year. They also have
hundreds of millions of dollars coming in over the next couple of years from, I think it's Fox, starting in 2022, has some multi-billion-dollar deal with Major League Baseball. It's split over the 30 clubs over like 10 years or something like that. So that's like half of a Francisco Lindor contract, basically, starting in 2022. So that's something to think about. But, I mean, you can't just plan on that money that's going to definitely be there. You have to plan on possible playing extra games in October, something like that.
Yeah, and isn't the Indians' TV deal in general a little under market compared to other teams? I've heard
they don't even have a deal anymore.
Well, I've heard that's why like the Rockies could do it and they couldn't, because the Rockies have a really good TV deal. That's why they can get Nolan Arenado for $1 billion. But again, that like goes back to Dolan, whoever did that TV deal. You really screwed that up. I'm still not going to feel bad for you when you mess it up that bad.
They have all this money coming from television, like not even local television. They have a weird deal because they're on Fox Sports Ohio, but it's like they sold the rights back to Fox or something like that for some amount of money or something. I don't even know what it is.
Aren't they still on Sports Time Ohio somehow?
Well, yeah, but that's
like
part
it's still
of Fox
called
Sports.
Sports Time Ohio.
Yeah, yeah. It's Fox Sports Sports Time Ohio. Indians TV deal. What do you think?
See, that
alone
is a good enough reason for them to lose money to have that name like that.
This was in 2013, though, that they signed. That this is reported, and I know something happened, and I don't remember what it was. Where they sold their rights back or some crap like that. But still, $40 million in straight TV before you sell a ticket is a third of the whatever the payroll already. Like, why can't they spend that money on Francisco Lindor? Kiss my butt. I don't even care.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
As my point stands, kiss my butt. I don't even care.
Yeah, I don't know. This thing it's bizarre. I've read it a couple of times just because it's so crazy imagining him say these things like 2 days before your team starts. Did he think any of this would go over well? That's what I want to know. Was he? Did he get done with his interview and like
I just
thank Zach and give him a handshake and go home feeling good about himself?
I don't know why the hell they ever do any of this stuff. It's insane to me. Like, why do they? Why do these people just speak in front of people? I don't know. It's
why do they let him outside?
Why do they let him outside? Doesn't he have handlers? He's a billionaire, ostensibly. Like, I thought they had handlers. I don't know.
I mean, at least a PR team that would just say like, no, don't do that. Stop it. Like, prep him on things to say and what to answer in an interview, so you're not calling out your own team and just making everything sound so bad. And
okay, so in 2012, they sold Fox Sports Ohio to Fox, or STO to Fox Sports for $230 million, and then signed a deal for $40 million a year over 10 years. So in essence, that's $630 million right there that they had coming in between 2013 and whatever 10 years from then is 2023, I suppose.
So I guess at the most, they're probably planning for that. They're already probably planning ahead when that dries up, that they're not going to have something to pay Francisco Lindor, but they're going to have a new TV deal at that point. Hopefully it's negotiated for even more money, but.
Well, the article I was reading was saying the Rays are getting $80 million a year. Like, that's the Rays. They don't even get fans. The Indians are one of the highest rated teams on TV teams in baseball is the thing too. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long it'll last with the Browns sucking everything away, but because that's going to happen. That's going to be a big looming thing over the Indian season, is knowing that when September rolls around, nobody's going to be watching them. It doesn't matter in the regular season. Anyway, I'm sure in the playoffs, some will come back. But once the regular season starts and they know they're going to win the AL Central, nobody's going to watch the Indians. It's going to be either you're watching the Browns or watching people talk about the Browns.
Yeah, but there's other months, too. And it's not like April matters for the Cavs anytime soon. So.
I don't know. Roasted. Don't you want to call Colin Sexton a little bit? He's pretty good now.
And I saw someone refer to him as Sex Man. I was like, that's a pretty good name.
Those other people they got. My whole thought on the Dolan thing is basically just, I agree with most of what he's saying. I get it. I wouldn't really expect somebody to have to dig in their own pockets and dump a bunch of money. I guess I just say I don't think many people would do
but
that.
Whatever.
So
I don't know, man. Shut up.
Well, okay, I'll rephrase that. I don't think many people would, so I don't think it's fair exactly to demand that Paul Dolan do it when most billionaires won't.
I do.
But so also anyway, just shut up about it. Like, yes, you what?
That's fair. I mean, I demand that he digs into his own pocket and does this, but you know.
I mean, would anybody else, though? That's, I don't know if any people would, other than like Mike Ilitch. Is that, and
George Steinbrenner would. Baseball.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he also had a shitload of Yankee money.
John,
I guess maybe not always.
John W. Henry would. Who? Owner of Liverpool? Person? Yeah, he owns. Yeah, he's the lead owner of the Fenway Group.
Oh, he doesn't count.
Doesn't he count?
Because he's it doesn't count.
Indeterminate owner of Padres would.
That's true. The Padres. Yep. AJ Preller. No, he's just the GM. I don't know their owners. But he would. He apparently would.
Owner of Padres.
I mean, the Padres are in an interesting spot too. That they're in a chance to like win back so many fans with the Chargers shitting on them and leaving. So if they could do something big and be relevant for a few years, they're going to build a lot of lifetime fans. Like, they're in the opposite situation of the Indians.
I don't know. It's hard to be a lifetime fan of anything in San Diego and you just have all that nice weather. And it's a very transient city. I know all this secondhand or third hand at best. So
yeah,
these are my theories.
Yeah. But do you think it's at least fair to say to Paul Dolan, just stop talking? Even if we disagree, like what he should be doing, just stop
bud,
talking.
Why don't you clam up for a while, huh? All right, thanks.
Let's do ourselves
a favor and shut up. Huh? Okay, thanks.
Anyway, there is going to be baseball played in a whopping 2 days now. Yeah, well, when this podcast comes out, it'll be 2 days because it'll be Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
The Indians are going to start the season for God knows what reason in Minnesota. Although I guess it's supposed to be like 50 there. Maybe hopefully it won't rain. So I guess we might actually have a game because they don't have a dome.
The Indians are going to start at 4:10
on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to watch baseball at 4:10 on a Thursday to start the season?
I mean, I'm going to be watching it at 3:30. So, you know, I'm going to a Detroit/Chicago bar to watch a hot dog eating contest. It's very exciting stuff.
In the lineup they had today, this looks pretty close to what it would be for opening day, which is good or bad. I'm not sure. So it's going to be center field. The way I had today was Jonas Martin, Jake Bowers, Carlos Santana, Hanley Ramirez, Tyler Naquin, Brad Miller, Roberto Perez, Max Maroff, Eric Stematz. That goes downhill really quick. Martin might be, I'd rather have like Carlos Santana in the one or two spot just because of his on base percentage, but everybody else without Jose Ramirez, Francisco Lindor, and even Jason Kipnis, that is an ugly looking lineup, I think. If Martin can bounce back into something, maybe you have a decent leadoff hitter. You got power in Santana. Hanley Ramirez is a total question mark. Roberto Perez is awful at the plate. And then the rest of them, who the hell knows? There's going to be some platoons. Leplo and Greg Allen will probably come in against lefties, but that's ugly. Are we going to be watching that for a good 2 weeks? There's going to be a lot of 1-2, 2-0 games, isn't there?
Oh, I mean, I think that's probably the hope here. I don't know. I mean, there's some players on here that I'm kind of excited. Like you said, I think Santana should probably lead off, bat second at the very worst. But and if I wanted to be positive about it, I'd look at names like Martin and Bowers and, I don't know, maybe Naquin. And just think to myself, well, there could be something there. Like, they could turn it into, I don't know, like, there's hope, I suppose. I know we talked about this some before, but it's really kind of a shitty way to go into a season.
it is. I mean, I'm excited for, like, Bowers and Martin and all them in the context of the same lineup as Francisco Lindor and Jose Ramirez.
Right. Yeah, they should be
one of the players. But without them, I don't want to watch any of them.
Yes.
I don't want to see Max Maroff and Eric Stametz get kissed. Or I guess I should say Brad Miller. Oh, he's in there at second base, yeah. But I don't want to watch Maroff and Stametz consistently getting at bats for the Indians. That's rough.
Positivity, though. I mean, it's been some quick games. So, you know, that's nice.
that's a positive.
Yeah, you know, I mean, shoot.
I mean, did you see the...
it all hinges on this opening series because, yeah, if they don't win this series, then the season's over, so...
I mean, that's how it works. So they're going to be behind in the AL Central, so just pack it up at that point.
Correct, because they'll never dig out of that hole.
Did you see that Rob Friedman posted, the pitching ninja on Twitter, he posted Mike Clevinger how fast he did like 3 pitches in a row. I think it was under a minute or something, but he compared it to another really slow pitcher and just put him side by side. So there's going to be, when Mike Clevinger pitches, man, he does not mess around.
No,
he does not need that pitch clock.
He ain't got time to waste. He's got things to do that day. I like that a lot.
He's got that weird-ass pitching motion. His hair goes flying everywhere. It's majestic. Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's all distraction. He's not actually that good of a pitcher. He's just got a lot going on. So it's just like, oh, I'm baffled by all the movement here. Yeah.
See, when he swings that arm before he pitches, he just hypnotizes them, and so they don't see a curveball coming.
They get drawn in, and then they see his beautiful eyes and his slight smile, and then the hair just waving all over the place. He's got that herky-jerk little knee thing, yeah.
We've talked about this last week. I mean, his smile's not that great.
You're not that great.
The whole face we're looking at here for Mike Clevinger, come on now.
I'm writing him a letter, certified letter. Dear Mr. Clevinger, let it be known that my editor, Matthew Q. Lyons, has been...
That is my middle initial. You got it.
Yep. Q for Robert. It's Dutch.
So do you see this as the opening lay lineup, what they had today,
pretty much? Something like that, yeah. I mean, because what else is it going to be, right? Are they just going to... get better players? No, they aren't. So it's going to be this. Yeah, pretty much something like this.
I mean, I'm pretty disappointed that some of the younger guys went down, like Eric Haas and Yu Chang.
Yeah, I'm surprised they sent Eric Haas down, but I mean, you can't have that many catchers, I suppose. And apparently everyone loves Kevin Plawecki, because I guess when your starting catcher is actually good enough to be a backup catcher, you got to have a backup catcher who's good enough to be a backup catcher and not a young catcher who's shown hints of being starting caliber.
We don't like hints of starting caliber around here, Merritt. We don't like guys with big biceps who hit the ball really hard or...
Get that F and S out of here. No. Yandy Diaz has changed his swing, and it is notable. Anyway, back to the lineup at hand. I think, moving Santana up to the leadoff spot is smart, only because he'll get more at-bats. And then what, Bowers and then Martin? I don't know. Like, at this point, they shouldn't look at... I think the smart thing to do, it won't happen, but... not focus at all on how a lineup, quote unquote, is typically constructed, but literally just get the better players more at bats. I don't know. Just an idea I had. It's a stupid idea.
I mean, that's kind of what they're doing. The good players are Martin, Bowers, and Santana, and then Bowers maybe doesn't count, but.
And Luplo, obviously, but I mean.
Obviously. God. I'm still slightly optimistic about him being.
Yeah, me too.
Making the Eric Gonzalez trade worth it, at least.
More than worth it. Everyone knows that when you trade a utility player, you get back a star.
That's how it works. And also an infielder, too. Yeah. Another utility player. That's
right. It's simple math.
Yeah. And I mean, we also have Bradley Zimmer eventually, too. And Greg Allen's going to be platooning in there. So maybe the outfield. That's my bold prediction. Let's go to bold predictions, Merritt.
I'm going to say this outfield. Outfielders. Yeah.
I'm going to say this outfield is one of the top five defensive outfields in baseball.
All right, I'm going to say it's one of the top five worst in baseball.
No, defensive, just defensive. We're talking.
Oh,
about
just defensively. Okay.
I think top five defensive and top half overall. Like the offense will be enough, not great, but it'll be enough to make them not one of the worst outfields in the league.
Which one of them among them do you think will have an OPS over 750? I'll give you a five.
I mean, Martin, like that's a pretty easy
Martin, one. Martin, Zimmer.
I'm gonna believe in Zimmer. I think he's
Allen, Naquin,
Oscar Mercado when he gets called up in 2 weeks. That's right,
Bowers. Is Bowers an outfielder? I guess we're assuming he'll be an outfielder, right?
Yeah, he's gonna probably play a lot of left field. Maybe like DH to platoon with I don't know who, but. I guess not, because he's going to be out there when Hanley is out there, so I don't know where he'd platoon exactly. But yeah, a lot of left field for him, I think. We can count him as an outfielder.
Yeah, he's a superstar.
Yeah, I guess at least Martin, not Naquin. I wouldn't count on him. But Zimmer, I think even maybe Luplo could. Maybe he can be fine.
All right.
But yeah, I think it's going to be top half of the league. It's not going to be as bad as we think. And I think in a way that's going to not vindicate, but make Paul Dolan feel a little better about what he said, like he can believe in the Indians rebuild a little bit, that the outfield of what they did to bring in all these high upside players is kind of working a little bit. So maybe mitigate
his preseason things
don't look quite as bad.
They still do though. So, you know, whatever.
They do for now. And they still probably will then, but so who is, do you have any bullet predictions on hand that you can think of that something slightly crazy that might happen with the Indians, but probably.
I think that Mike Clevenger will have a sub-3 ERA. I think that Corey Kluber will be the third best pitcher in the rotation. I think that... How was Adam Simber pitched this spring? I don't even know. I think Adam Simber will be fine. I think that Brad Miller will be pretty good. And, of course, the main one is Jake Bowers is going to be great. When I say great, I mean like a 125 OPS plus, something like that.
That's pretty great. Yeah. I'll take that.
It is very good. It would be like the third best on the team last year.
Yeah.
I think he'll have an OPS on base, you know, approaching 350 and slug around 500. Like, I think if you wanted a nice comparison, I think he'll put up numbers similar-ish to what? Wow, Baseball Reference switched over to 2019 standings. Damn.
Well, yeah, because remember the Mariners and Oakland A's technically played?
Yeah, but I was on here literally 5 minutes ago, and it was different. so I was just, you know,
I think your
surprise.
First one isn't exactly too crazy. Mike Clevenger with a sub-3 ERA.
Okay.
I can still
okay.
see that. But pairing that with Corey Kluber being a third pitcher, like, again, I can see that pretty easily. Like, Carrasco and Bauer, at the very least, if not Clevenger up there, too. I mean, I just said
Clevenger is going to probably be the second best pitcher in the rotation.
Right, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, Kluber could be the fourth best pitcher pretty easily.
Okay. I think that Bowers can put together a line similar to what Santana did in 2017 when he had 259, 363, 455 with like 23 home runs.
That is maybe a little prediction.
Maybe a little less on base and a little more slugging. But I think he'll have an OPS north of 800. So, yeah. I'm high on him for whatever reason. I don't know. Whatever.
I want him to be good just to justify the Yandy Diaz trade. I want to see. Oh,
well, obviously, dude. Damn. Like, come on.
So I have kind of like a negative one, sort of, but I don't think Danny Salazar is going to throw a single pitch for the Indians in 2019.
That's another one. He's going to be he's going to pitch 60 innings for the Indians with a sub-2 ERA.
Well, there you go. We're opposite end. So just strictly as a reliever,
he's
then?
He's going to be a relief pitcher.
Yeah. See, I don't think he's going to pitch any. I think it's just going to be setback after setback after. In the minors, he pitches for a little bit, then another setback, and then he's gone to the minors again. Tito said something about him being lazy again somewhere midway season, and then we just start all over again. But
why doesn't he just
I'd be
pitch
much happier
left-handed.
If you're right.
God.
Yeah. I mean, I would be much happier to see him even pitch like 30, 40 innings at the end of the year and then be really good in the playoffs. Can you imagine that redemption story? Like the Indians spending $4.5 million on him this year, knowing he's not going to be available for so long. And then he just comes in and dominates the playoffs.
Matthew, that's literally what I'm rooting for here. That's exactly the thing I want to happen. That's precisely what I'm hoping.
It'd be so good. I mean, I don't think it's going to. That's my point. I want it to, but I don't think it's going to.
Well, it will happen. So
Do you think it's more likely that he's a reliever in the second half or Tristan McKenzie is?
I don't think Tristan McKenzie.
So who do you think it's more innings, Danny Salazar or Tristan McKenzie?
But in the majors?
Yeah, for a reliever.
Oh, or as a reliever. Danny Salazar. I don't think Tristan McKenzie will pitch in the majors this year.
I mean, he's injured too, so I mean.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone would think he would.
Because he's Tristan McKenzie, man. I want him there.
Oh, that's right. He's Tristan McKenzie. He's great. He's a great, you know, he's a top flight prospect. But come on. Prospects suck. I hate them. All they ever do is fill me with outsized hope and all the other crap that makes me feel bad later on.
You know, man, I'm just saying enjoy him, Merritt. That's all.
I will not. Oh, enjoy my new kitty. Isn't that right? Dude? I got a new kitty, everybody. He's very sweet.
He's very tiny, and apparently he smells very bad. So.
He's a stinky little boy, aren't you, bud? Yeah. He's on my lap right now. He's falling asleep. Oh, no.
Get your brackets ready. March Madness is here, and the best place to stay on top of all the NCAA tournament coverage? CBS Sports HQ. CBS Sports HQ is a free 24-hour sports network that's built for fans just like you. From nonstop highlights to news and analysis, CBS Sports HQ has got you covered by cutting through the noise of hot takes and fake debates to get smart analysis and helpful highlights for your fantasy teams and beyond. Check out CBS Sports HQ. It's always on and always free. No need to pay a subscription fee or have an expensive cable package. Download the CBS Sports app on your phone, Fire TV, Roku, or Apple TV to start watching today.
All right, Merritt, every Monday we ask on Twitter and Facebook for your questions about what you want to know about the Indians or apparently video games or Yu Chang, whatever your question is.
His name is Charlie. Thank you for asking.
Yu Chang Charlie?
Is that Yu Chang Charlie. Ooh, look at these little claws you got here, bud.
So the first question is from @Cleology. He wants to know, I guess this sort of goes into what we were just talking about, when healthy is Tristan McKenzie an option for the bullpen after the All-Star break? Yeah. So I guess we're going to say, if we're going to guarantee he's healthy, do you have any optimism that he could be in the bullpen? Or is it just he's going to be in the minors no matter what?
Yeah, definitely. Especially Danny Salazar sucks, but I mean, who else is it going to be in their bullpen? You know, John Edwards and did John Edwards run for vice president?
He did, yes.
Okay. And Adam Simber and Brad Hand and who else? Like Dan Otero and yeah. No, I think it's definitely an option. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if the expectation is that they actually want to win a championship, then it's in a sense, it's an all hands on deck thing. And if nothing else, then they want to pitch him in the majors so they can trade him for an actual, you know, a veteran arm. So yeah, no, I think there's a good chance if he's healthy. That's a big if though, because his back hurts or whatever.
Yeah, was it upper back? I think so that's going to be rough for him to come back. But yeah, if he does, I mean, if he's completely healthy and if he pitches well when he comes back in AAA, sure, he can be an option in the bullpen. @ChaiTribeAP, he says, rewinding to last week's video game conversation, which four Indians, current or former, would you trust to get you to the end of Oregon Trail alive? So I'm assuming if it's real. So if Oregon Trail comes to life, Merritt, which former or current Indians do you pick to get you to the end of the Oregon Trail? So just think, there's going to be a lot of survival and perhaps some violence needed.
Bob Feller, Sam McDowell, Joe Charbonneau, and four?
Yep, four.
What else do I need? Let's see, I have grit. I have anger.
You're going all old fashioned here, aren't you?
I have excitement, and then I don't know. The modern day guys are soft. Come on, they're all coddled.
I have one in mind that I think you're going to hate that you didn't think of because he's perfect to help on the Oregon Trail.
And I mean, sometimes you got to be. I think I have to go with Jim. Nah, you know, I'm going to go with Albert Bell. Sometimes you got to.
There you go. That's the one. Just imagine him plowing over cows in the open field and just killing with his bare hands.
Yeah, the wagon gets stuck in the mud. He just lifts it up 2 months and it flips it over. Ah, Albert, for the river. Just call him Joey. He drags the whole thing to come kill you. Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, I think as long as you have Albert Bell, it doesn't matter which other three are. He will carry your ass.
I figure the leader in this group will be a curmudgeonly old Bob Feller.
Now, I mean, is this Bob Feller like right before he died, or Bob Feller in peak playing condition?
Let's say late career Bob Feller, So he's got a little bit of the PTSD thing going on from after the war, which I assume happened. I don't know.
So he's a wily vet at this point, though. He can make his way across the Oregon Trail.
McDowell, he's kind of a surly, possibly had a bit of a drinking problem sort of a thing. I think that would fit in well in the ouvroir of the Oregon Trail. Joe Charbonneau, because he's a sprightly young guy, you need that energy, that youthful energy. And then, of course, you have the unbridled anger of Albert Bell to go and beat an antelope to death so you can eat it.
You know he would, too. Even if he had plenty of food, he'd just be out there killing them, bringing them back.
Yeah, exactly.
Albert, we're good. We've got, three wagons full. Stop.
That's my squad.
I would also want Jason Grimsley in there somewhere. He's the one who snuck in to get Albert Bell's bat.
Yes.
I want that level of stealth and dedication to a team.
I kind of figure they come together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're part of the team. Yeah.
Little Jason just rides on Albert Bell's shoulder.
With a flashlight in his mouth, throwing when he sees an antelope, they can jump on him. Yeah. And I guess, also, I don't know, somebody is there anybody faster in Indians history than Kenny Lofton, or is he pretty much the fastest one?
I don't know. Probably someone from the 20s who was, fast as Grease Latin and twice as, twice as shy. I don't know, whatever. Someone who was, talked about like that. So maybe. Nap Lajoie. So people go, hey, yeah, a guy like Nap Lajoie, so you can call him Frenchie, something like that. Even though his name is in no way French. So.
Isn't LaJoie French?
I have no fucking clue. Are you kidding me?
I'm pretty sure LaJoie is French.
It's not LaJoie. Do you know how to talk? It's the name of a blog, for God's sake.
Oh, it's pronounced.
It's the man's name. And his name's pronounced too.
Wait, I always say it in my head, right? It's pronounced Layaway?
Lajoie.
There you go.
Lajoie. Unless I'm
going to just edit in Lajoie the right way.
Lajoie.
That's definitely French then. Hold on.
Lajoie. Let's see. Where was he born? Full name was Napoleon. Yeah, probably French.
That about settles it. Well, I never considered his name would have been Napoleon. I always thought it was just Nap. I don't know why I never thought that was a nickname.
Well, he's an old-timey dude. You know what I mean?
Right,
I tried to name my cat Nap Lajoie, but my wife said no. But I'm like, he naps all the time.
You can
just
call him Nap Lajoie when she's not looking. She can't stop you.
I just call him Chuck instead. Hey, Chuck Finley, what are you doing? Because his name's Charlie.
All right, Merritt, pop quiz. At Fillenium Line, he wants to know, playoffs start tomorrow. What does the Tribe starting outfield look like?
Wait, what?
So I don't know if he means right now, or let's just do we'll assume it's October or whatever, right before the playoffs start. It's not like the playoffs are moved up. We're in October. The playoffs are right about to start. Sure. Who's your starting outfield for the Indians? So you got to make some leaps here.
My starting outfield for the Indians is center field. Where's AJ Pollock these days?
So you're going full trade at the deadline then?
Oh, hell yeah, baby. He's at the Dodgers now. David Peralta, maybe? Is he still on that? Is he available? Yeah, him. David Peralta? That's a terrible idea. I don't know. This is going to be a combination of things went well, and also they made some trades. So Jake Bowers and Bradley Zimmer and who's a good right fielder they could trade for? Steven Souza, any good? No, he's terrible. I don't know. Who do you got? And Shin-Soo Chu.
I thought it was, God, I want him to be there. I want him back.
Somehow they get Nomar Mazara. I don't know.
I mean, if the Rangers can't extend him, is he still on arbitration though, right?
Yeah, he's only played for 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Did the Cardinals ever extend Marcell Ozuna? I can't remember if they did.
I don't remember.
If they didn't, I think he's going to be one of the ones out there. Maybe Nick Castellanos. If they just say screw defense, we need some offense and put somebody out there, then Castellanos is an option.
Right.
But like you, I think it's going to be a one big trade because that's always been my thought about what the Indians are doing. They're going to trade the last possible second to get somebody for the playoffs because they don't need anybody in the first half. So I don't know if it's Castellanos or not Johnny Peralta.
Michael Conforto forces his way out of New York. Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you see that catcher? What is his name? The Mets catcher. Anyway, they tried to assign him the minors, and he refused and wanted release. So they just said no. So he's just going to retire now. That's
Wilson Ramos.
No,
Thomas
Nido. Is it Desclafani? Or is he a pitcher?
Devin Mesoraco.
There you go. One of those long
names. He just retired?
That's what the last tweet I said, said he was just going to retire because they weren't going to let him be released.
Ass. Fine. Fuck you guys. I'm leaving.
That's the ultimate, like, good feeling that you could just say that.
Like, fine. This, kiss I'm my butt. I'm leaving. Yeah. Oh. All right. Oh, shit.
But yeah, I also see Jake Bauer sticking out there, I think, in a best case scenario.
Yeah.
Leonis Martin, if he proves to be really good, maybe just don't trade for a center fielder. I don't know.
I'm just assuming that Zimmer will take the job back and hit 250 with a 330 on base percentage and slug 480.
Well, I think you're close with Zimmer, but I think the correct answer is one Mr. Oscar Mercado.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, that's the starting center. I think it'd be, if anybody beats Leonis Martin now, I think it's going to be one of those two. I do think Zimmer's probably closer than Mercado. So for this year, it'd be Zimmer. But I mean, Mercado's Hall of Fame career starts next year at the very least. So one of those two.
Well, it's, you know, if he's going to start anyway, he's going to start in October and he's going to hit 19 home runs in the first game and then nothing else.
But yeah, I think my official answer would be Bowers, Martin, and then like Castellanos or Marcelo Zuna. If the Cardinals didn't extend him, I can't remember if they did or not, but in right field.
Some I can kind of look thing in there. Using the internet. Would
nah,
you like me to?
Nah, takes too long. Nah.
Would you like to know more?
We'll just go to our last question. At Perdition Dogs, he wants to know, honestly, how long would you wait before you tear it down to the studs and start over? I mean, if the Indians aren't going to re-sign, if they've admitted and just given up on re-signing Lindor, then you've got like 2 years to trade him and completely restock your farm, hopefully. So, Mayor, how long do you wait at this point if they're not going to re-sign Lindor, I guess? Or do you wait until he's gone? Do you pull the Royals and just keep trying to the last possible second and sort of jeopardize your future? Or are you going to trade him and pretty much everybody else in a couple of years?
Well, I mean, they can restock their farm by trading like one person. Like, it's not even like there's talk that they're going to have a top by mid-year. They'll be considered to have like a top 10 farm system already. Yeah, they have a good deep farm system. They don't have quite have the top end talent, but it's silly to think they don't have a good farm system. And then they can just trade, I don't know, Bauer and get a king's ransom, and then they have a top farm system and they've restocked it without doing anything. That's the thing. They don't ever have to tear it down to the studs. They, even if they trade Bauer or Kluber, they still have, and we've been over this, they have two aces and then another guy who could be very good. And then I fully expect them to develop other good pitchers because they keep on doing it, right? I don't think they're going to keep on printing aces quite, but I mean, I don't know. There's definitely something to be said about the organization as a whole. I don't think any time soon. Like when I say that, I mean the next, at least Ramirez's contract. I would say that the length of Ramirez's contract is the length at which you can fully expect them to not be going into total sell mode. They're going to keep on this retooling thing. I mean, that's what they did this past year. If any of that works out, right? If Bowers turns into something, or if Mercado turns into something, or X or Y, or any of these, you know, young guys turn, you know, learn to hit or whatever, then they're fine. So no, I don't think, to answer the question directly, I don't think there's any real reason, honestly, considering. Because that's the thing. If you trade everyone, then what? Then you have, like, nine top, like, you have, I don't know, like, all these top prospects in a trash team. Like, and then what? You move the team? That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Actually. I mean,
no, I'm with you. I don't think they have, like, a set timeline they have to do it. It just depends on who pans out and who doesn't. Like, all these lower-level minor guys, if they all pan out, like, if two of them pan out, the thing.
Like,
yeah.
And by pan, and if they quote unquote pan out, then they'll be good in 3 years, and then they still have all these guys under contract. Like, that's the other thing. Yeah, they'll lose one or both of Bauer and Kluber, but fine. I mean, whatever. They can trade those guys for more bullpen arms under control. They can pound the shit out of the AL Central some more. I don't think that, like, most of these teams aren't going to be done rebuilding within the next 2 or 3 years anyway. Maybe the White Sox, and we'll see how good Adalberto Mondesi gets, but I don't know. It'll be a while, I guess. And yeah, I think this
core is going to be gone, but the team is still going to be good with a different core eventually, relatively soon.
And also too, we have to remember what we just read from Fearless Leader Paul Dolan. there's definitely not an expectation of winning a championship here. Nothing honest anyway. So
wait,
they
what?
They just want to. They're not trying to win a championship. They're trying to win some games and make it to October. Like it's very obvious that that's not a goal here. If it was, then they would blow money. Like,
well, no, I think that is the goal. It's just a different way of doing it. Their goal is to go to October as many times as possible.
Right, exactly. And that's the whole point. Their goal is not to win a championship. That looks different. If that was the goal, they would tear it down to the studs, including firing the entire front office and, you know, spend a lot of money on development and, you know, try and leapfrog the Astros, basically, in terms of understanding of the game and stuff like that. So,
well, if their goal was just to make as much money as possible, I think then you do that. Then you just tank and accept it for a couple of years and make more money in those down years than you do when you're expected to sign free agents. But I think what they're doing is just another way of, because Paul Dolan even said it in the interview. I think it's one of the only honest things that made sense that he said in it was, I mean, you can try to be this odds-on favorite for the season and just load up your team, but that doesn't guarantee you anything more than just having a really good, not the best team in the league for like 7 years compared to having 1 or 2 years of being the absolute best. So,
yeah, I guess it's true.
I don't know if they're necessarily not trying to win a championship. I think they're doing it in a different way that we haven't seen exactly, which is kind of interesting that they're stretching it out so far.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they're keeping the window open, which has been kind of what they've been trying to do for a long time. It didn't work out the last time because everyone got bad suddenly. So yeah,
and it's weird that that's their goal, and I think they're executing that goal, but the perception is just the complete opposite. Like this already, Ken Rosenthal is talking about their window is slamming shut, and Sports Illustrated said today that their window is slamming shut. But like everything they're doing is to purposely keep it open longer. They're not trying to yank it open.
I've heard reports that their window is slamming shut, by the way. I wanted to just let you know.
Breaking news, their window is now shut. It literally just shut. I just saw it.
You just slammed it just now.
It's over. I think to complete the metaphor, they're not trying to like rip the window seal off. They're just keeping it propped open with a book for a few more years. There's teams that just kick open the window and just hope to God it works for those first couple of years. But I don't know if that's what they're doing. I don't know if I'd call it not trying quite as much, but... Because if you want to make money, what you do is just tank for a couple of years and just soak up the money then.
Yeah, I guess.
Because if you only make the ALDS, remember, all that money, poor Paul Dolan, goes back to him.
Those poor players.
Those greedy-ass players.
Scamming-ass players we all hate. I'm here for the owners.
That's who I want to see. Just put Paul Dolan out there every game in the pitcher's mound.
I watch this game for the old rich man in the boxes.
All right, Merritt, that's going to do it for our show this week. Next week we'll have real baseball. I'll have a week of it, or not quite a week, but I'll have a few games to talk about.
Hopefully my cat doesn't stink as much then.
We might have a run or two from the Indians cross the plate at that point we can discuss, or maybe not. Maybe we'll just have a complete depression podcast for a few episodes. So,
nah, that's the thing. You can't be depressed for the first couple of weeks because we're like, well, look how good he's doing that, though, and so on. But yes, that's about it. I'll see you next week.
Look how good he's... Oh, yeah, you can exaggerate everything.
Yeah, exactly. No,
I don't know if we'll have that, though. We're going to exaggerate about Eric Stametz.
Hell yeah, man. We can point out how amazing so-and-so's launch angle is, or how Eric Stametz is great, or how Mike Clevenger's pitch mix is so much different than it used to be, or how what's-his-name has a nice change. You know, we have lots of...
I don't think Clevenger's going to have a start by the next time we talk.
Yeah, you're probably right, huh? No, let's see. Thursday, off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
He might, like, as we're talking, I think.
Well, then we'll have to live broadcast it. I love doing those. Live, after the fact.
A play-by-play of Mike Clevenger as our whole podcast. That'll be good.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a live review. It'll be like live tweeting something and then publishing all the tweets 2 days later. It's perfect.
There you go. Talk to you next week, man.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form the
Shutdown Fullcast. Voltron!
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears in video games.
Pittsburgh Batman.
The hell of being trapped in a group text.
Unreliable legal advice.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Like the time Arkansas decided to use a captured feral hog as a mascot, and it escaped and it wound up killing 7 rattlesnakes, a pig, and a coyote.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.
Unless it is.
Damn it.